Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha and welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. Today I'm actually coming to you from Cocoa Beach, Florida. We just wrapped up our shoot of season 3 of Long Ride Home in the Hawaiian Islands. And within a few months, season 2 will begin to air on EWTN. So we're excited about kind of being a little bit ahead of the curve with our shooting of our reality show. And I'll tell you, it's a reality show. It's about the toughest thing I've ever done, riding these great distances. And it's kind of like the Lord strips you down. You kind of come to an end of your strength. And what's so beautiful is that seems to be when the Holy Spirit shows up, and then we're kind of going on Holy Spirit power, and he shows up and does beautiful and powerful things. So we're excited to be back in Cocoa Beach, Florida. We're working editing season 2 and season 3. We're going to be working on that, editing that in a couple of months we start. But, you know, our ministry is called Deep Adventure Ministries. But I've got a guest with us today who's even better than deeper. He's great. He's the great adventure. You know who I'm talking about. We have Jeff Cavins. Jeff, aloha. Welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Good to be back with you, Bear.
The Bear Wozniak Adventure starring Jeff Cavins is on the show. Jeff and I had coffee together with Cindy maybe like 3 months ago in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And we've been trying to get together for so many times because I have family that lives in that area. And then you said something crazy. What was it you mentioned you thought you might like to do someday?
I said I'd like to ride up to Alaska someday on my motorcycle.
Yeah, didn't you say you wanted to go from like Florida to Alaska?
Yeah, Florida to Alaska, kind of the ultimate adventure on the bike.
Yeah, and that just kind of just grabbed me. That was like the Holy Spirit said, do it. You know, like, how could I not do that? Especially if I get to be with Jeff Cavins. So we're working on that, aren't we? We're less than 10 months away from starting that adventure next August.
Yeah. We're talking about taking the big, long adventure and also meeting up with a whole bunch of other brothers in the Lord and on the way. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're man enough, Jeff.
Well, you know, that's why I'm hanging around with you. I want to be a better man.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, have you ever ridden your motorcycle 1,000 miles in one day?
You know, I did about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, I did, actually.
You actually have done what they call an iron butt.
Yes.
And how many miles did you actually go?
We went 1,200 miles in a day.
So you decided you would just to make a point.
Yeah. You know, it's something I've wanted to do since I heard of the idea. I've got a lot of crazy ideas like coast to coast in 10 days and all 48 states in 10 days.
What do you mean all 48? You're missing two.
The one's here, but you and I are going to – you didn't invite me to Hawaii. Otherwise,
we'll punch the Alaska ticket with you then.
Yeah, we did. You know, we had a fantastic trip this last August. I ride with like 8 guys, and we went 4,500 miles in 9 days. And on the last day, you know, we started Minneapolis to Gillette, Wyoming, then went down to Denver, Durango, Santa Fe, Winslow, Arizona.
Beautiful.
Up through Utah, Idaho, and back through Montana. But we were on our we went all the way to Idaho Falls, and we had about 1,200 miles to go. And I looked at my buddy. We were riding just the two of us at that point, and I said, "Let's do it. Let's go the whole way in one day, and we'll stop in Bismarck. We'll sleep for 2 hours in a hotel, and then we'll get back on, and we'll
that
we'll
was
go.
Wise. That was prudent.
Yeah, we did. We slept for about almost 3 hours, It was great. I mean, when I was done, I felt like $1 million. I really wasn't that tired. So.
Well, you know, so let's picture this. So did you do the official one where you went to the website and you clocked in? And so tell us about that. So you're in Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And you set the alarm clock for what time and what happens next?
Well, we had been on a trip. We had gone through Sturgis and everything, and we were on the tail end of the trip in Idaho Falls. And I said at that point, let's go for it. And so we went online and we looked for everything, you know, online with the Iron Butt Association. And with the Iron Butt Association, what you do is you really have to verify this. So you got to have a witness sign at the gas station you're starting at, mileage, picture, all of that. And then on the way, you have to have receipts from all the gas stations with mileage. And then at the end, you have to have a witness sign off that you're here, this is your mileage, and you take a picture. And you have to have a whole route. We did that the night before we left, and we went 1,200 miles and got back to Minneapolis.
Oh, so you went from Idaho Falls to Minneapolis?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so that's after the end of already riding over 3,000 miles, or about 3,000 miles. You're going to tack 1,000 miles.
We did about 3,500 miles to that point. And some of the days were like, you know, 600-mile days. And so we were anxious to get home and to see our wives. And it's a little more of an incentive to go home, you see your wife, instead of taking 2 to 3 days to come home and just do it in one shot. And my buddy and I talked to each other with Bluetooth, you know, headset. And we prayed. We prayed rosaries together. We prayed for our families. And just great fellowship, you know.
Did you listen to any Audible books or anything like that?
You know, I didn't on that particular leg. We talked a lot about theology and prayed together. And I just enjoyed the, you know, going through Beartooth and just the beautiful, peaceful riding. You know?
I've been all those places, not on a motorcycle, but I've been everywhere, man. I've been Route 66 when I was a kid, you know, with my parents. So
we did that on this trip. We're down in Winslow, Arizona.
Yeah. Winslow, Arizona. I forget how the song goes exactly, but
7 Saints on my mind.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So now, when you're doing that ride, what was the, did you get sleepy at all, or did you, your back?
I did at one point. We were going through, it was on the 1,000-mile trip. And on that day we were going through Montana.
Oh, that's just a long straight road, isn't it?
And you know what happened was that we hit rain. So we put our gear on, and my gear didn't breathe that well, you know, the rain gear, and you get hot. And I started getting hot and kind of drowsy. And I told my buddy, I said, I don't care if I get wet. I got to get out of this. I got to wake up here. And so we pulled over and I got a cup of coffee, took off the rain gear, and literally felt like $1 million after that. It's just a wise thing to do, you know.
And, you know, coffee helps too. Well, you know, Jeff, maybe we can do it. I mean, it's in the back of my mind to make a run like that when we do our Cocoa Beach, Florida to Skagway, Alaska run that we're going to be doing in August. But I just have the feeling, from a matter point of view of prudence, that I don't know how many thousands of miles we're going. I forget now, but you know, maybe to kind of ease off the accelerator on that. maybe when we come back from Edmonton or something to Helena, I don't know. But anyway, really looking forward to that. And it says a lot about your relationship with these other men. You've been riding together with them for how many road trips have you made like that?
Four big ones.
Yeah.
Most of them are 5,000 miles.
And what does that do to your relationships?
Well, I think, you know, it brings us together as brothers. You get to know each other, your strengths and your weaknesses. You know, you get an idea of, I mean, not everybody can just go on a 5,000-mile motorcycle trip with a bunch of guys. And some days it's a little harder because we might ride 600 miles and we're riding to a church, getting off the bikes and literally walking up to a platform and speaking to 500 people and then having something to eat and then go to the hotel. So at the end of 400, 500, 600 miles of riding, it is an hour talk, you know.
Mm.
But you get to know them. You get to know them. You know their families. And, you know, if you're riding together like that, you'll get calls in the middle of your trip, you know, that, oh, my son's in the hospital, or my daughter's, you know, she got in a car accident or whatever. And that kind of weighs on you a little bit. And it gives you a chance to pray for them on the phone and, you know, get together. But we speak at so many churches and men's groups that it gives them an opportunity to minister to men on the road. You know, I speak, but these guys are out there among the crowd and they're talking to guys and praying with them. And we get an opportunity to, we probably witnessed at gas stations and hotels to maybe 30, 40 people actually witnessed to.
Yeah. You know, and it's kind of similar with us when we do our run. We've done, it's kind of like the same thing. We've done three big rides and, you know, we're not speaking, but we're filming, and that's tough because you stop for gas and the cameras are on, and you know, yeah. It's tough, especially when you have deadlines, especially when you're going across the desert or something. You got to get from point A to point B. There isn't a plan B. You got to get to that hotel that night. And my least favorite thing to do with my men is to ride at night, and it always seemed like we kind of ended up doing that.
Oh, did you?
Pushing so hard, but it really gets down to what it means to be brothers and the raw edges and the bumping into each other. We're talking with Jeff Cavins, who is the man who's on the Great Adventure, wants to lead us on the Great Adventure. His ministry and mine is the Deep Adventure, the Bear Wozniak Adventure. So you got two adventure guides with you. When we get back, we're going to talk about what it takes to be an activated disciple. This is your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. You can go to our website, deepadventure.com, and you can sign up for our newsletter, which means every week you would get the radio show sent to you on an MP3 version before it even airs. And you can go to YouTube right now if you want to see what Jeff Cavins looks like, and check us out because we also are on YouTube. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Hey, man. I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.
Deep Virtue with Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, this is Bear Wozniak from deepadventure.com with Deep Virtue number 79. You know, I'm a private pilot, and I was doing my check ride. I was about to get my license. Flew from the island of Oahu over to Lanai, took off from Lanai, went over to Molokai with my instructor next to me. We landed in Molokai, and he said, turn it around and let's go. So I spun the plane around, and I really, frankly, wasn't quite ready. I didn't have I just didn't feel set, like I had my lines up all correct. But he said, go, so I went, which is really not right, because I was the pilot in command. It was my choice when to go or not to go. And I put down full throttle, and right away, the plane started edging towards the left of the runway. Now, airplanes, propeller-driven airplanes, have a tendency, they have a left-turning tendency. They tend to want to go left because of the rotation of the propeller. And so I've got liftoff, and you know what? There's a sign coming up that I'm pretty sure I'm going to hit. And my flight instructor grabs a plane and fixes what I hadn't been able to do. And we take off, and he goes, I hope you don't mind if I took care of that little situation back there. When you hit a sign like that on the runway, there's all kinds of paperwork and stuff you have to fill out afterwards. So hope you don't mind if I did that. But we are meant to fly. God gave us a spirit. We are meant to fly. But we have left-turning tendencies. We have something in us, a fallen nature, original sin, that makes us kind of want to turn aside. And you have to always alter your course. You always have to fix your direction. And so I'm challenging you today, as you're flying in your little Cessna, to keep your compass, keep your headings, keep your direction on the Lord. All through the day, you're going to have tension and things that are going to want to pull you away from the direction God has for your life. Keep your center of peace. Keep your eyes on Him. This is Bear Wozniak from deepadventure.com with Deep Virtue number 79.
Deep Virtue with Bear Wozniak. Find out more at deepadventure.com.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. I have Jeff Cavins with me. His Bible Timeline series is called The Great Adventure, and it's so interesting that my ministry developed to be calling Deep Adventure. And so you got two adventurous guys with you, and we're adventurous not because we ride motorcycles like Jeff just did, 1,200 miles in a day, or do other things like that. What makes our life adventurous is living a life abandoned to the Holy Spirit. And Jeff did me a favor and sent me this new Bible. Now, I've been looking for a new Bible for years, wanting to find a good Catholic Bible that had the right footnotes. Really, to tell you the truth, Jeff, what it looks like, I love the leather. I love blue leather. And a Bible could kind of fit in your hand like a gun kind of fits, you know? It's kind of like, you know how when you pick up the right gun, you know, this is my gun?
Yeah.
You know, or like your motorcycle, you know, that's your, when you sat on it, you knew that's the one I'm going to buy.
And several guns too.
You know what I'm talking about? Well, this Bible, when I opened it up in Hawaii about a month ago, I just finally, someone's given me my Bible. I love the blue leather. Okay. And then you stole my compass from my website that I used to have a website that had a compass on it. And you stole that from me. Or maybe I stole it from you, I don't know, but it's got emblazoned on the cover. One of my favorite things, which is a compass, which kind of lets you know if you got a compass, you're on an adventure.
Right.
And then it has these tabs where they don't stick out from the pages, but you can see the colored edge of the tabs for the different books of the Bible. And I love the footnotes. I love that it has Jeff Cavins is the guy behind all this. And so I went to go buy another one. They already sold out the first printing. By the time the show airs, the second printing will be up. Where can they find this Bible?
You can go to ascensionpress.com, and I think Amazon was selling it as well. But ascensionpress.com, and these first couple of printings, I think they're doing most of it. But Bear, I got to tell you, we were shocked.
Let me see, show the people on YouTube what it looks like.
Yeah, if you're looking on YouTube, you can see there. This is what Bear is talking about, the colors on the edge.
Yeah. And then the compass. Show them the compass.
The compass, yeah.
Yeah, if you're not watching on YouTube, you guys should watch this on our show on YouTube, too.
Yeah, you know what? It's got the best cover for that it comes in, too. Isn't that nice?
That's beautiful. I want to go there. Yeah. Is that one of the pictures you took in Israel or what?
No, that is a picture from Israel, but I didn't take it. I think they just got stock pictures or something like that.
Well, I'll tell you, that you guys, it's Christmas is coming up. This is a book for anyone, men and women. But I got to tell you, if you have a man, a young man especially, this Bible is just so inviting. Don't you love it when the Bible comes to you and you? I remember when I published my first book, my literary agent said, "Open it up, the tomb that they send you, and smell it." Mm-hmm. When I opened up that box and I opened up the Bible, I just smelled it. It's just like I can hardly wait to. And I loved it so much, so I left it in Hawaii, thinking I'd get another one here. But it's on back order. But by the time the show airs, people can get it. But it's called the Great Adventure Bible. And you can get it. Where should they go to get it?
AscensionPress.com.
And what inspired this? And how did this all come about?
Well, you know, for many, many years, I taught the Great Adventure Bible Study, which takes you basically through the whole Bible in chronological order. In other words, you learn how to read it as a story. And one of the crazy things is, Bear, is that, you know, the church tells us that we should read the Bible. Everyone tells us we should read the Bible, but rarely does anybody show you how to read the Bible. So that's what the Great Adventure is about. And we now have been over a million people now have gone through the Great Adventure.
Praise God. That's amazing. How does that make you feel?
Oh, it's amazing. It's, I remember when I, I was at the University of Minnesota, right where Bob Dylan stayed, and I was sitting in the car, and the idea came to me when I was 26 years old. And I was so excited because I've envisioned in my mind this timeline chart and show people how to read the Bible by picking out the narrative books and then showing them where all the other books fit into these 12 periods of salvation history. And I went home, and for 48 hours, I put that chart together. I was so excited. And Bear, I didn't know that that 48 period would define my life. I didn't know that.
That just thrills me. Just thrills me.
I didn't. But yeah. You know what we did was we took the Great Adventure and we baked it into a Bible. Well, in other words, it has the if you know, listeners are familiar with the Bible timeline chart, the colorful Bible timeline chart, they know about the various periods, and we take each one of those periods, like the return, you know, and I'll just show you this.
The return actual, from Egypt, or?
Yeah, so return from Babylonian captivity here. And this, has that part of the chart there with a whole synopsis of that period. And then the color code on the side shows you all the books that belong in that period. So we're always reading in proper context. And it's when people see it, they're like, oh my gosh, I've always wanted this. I've always wanted a Bible.
Do you get to the extent like where when you're reading the life of David that you insert the Psalms kind of in the right place in his story, or is it not?
Yeah, we show you where the Psalms fit, right?
Yeah, just so beautiful. God, I got to get one for my sons. I mean, they will love that. This Bible is just. It actually, you know, I mean, I love it because it's a great translation.
Yeah.
It's got great footnotes.
Yeah.
The Bible timeline is built through it.
And it's got phenomenal articles in there by some of the best scholars in the world. We've got Dr. Peter Williamson from Detroit, Dr. Mary Healy from Detroit. She's from Sacred Heart. She's on the Pontifical Biblical Commission. I mean, this is big stuff, you know.
What are you doing? What are you doing with these guys?
That's a good question.
Don't you sometimes kick yourself?
Yes. Yeah, I've got a lot of bruises on my legs, right? And Andrew Swofford, Dr. Andrew Swofford is part of the team. And so, you know, and we even have an article in there on how to pray scripture, how to interpret scripture.
Praise the Lord. Oh,
all kinds of stuff.
Go to that. Tell us about how to interpret scripture. I know it's a big subject, but it's a very important subject. I know the catechism.
Oh, yeah, and Dr. Peter Williamson is actually he is a master at it, and that's what he did his PhD in. And he's the one that wrote this article in here on how to interpret scripture. And basically, the steps are: number one, you have to understand the intent of the human author. So if Matthew writes something, you got to ask yourself, what was Matthew trying to get across here? And you do a little study on that. And then you begin to look at, and that's called the literal sense, by the way. We talk about that. But then we get into what's called the spiritual sense. And this goes deeper. So everything you study, you first want to know what was the intention of the author. Second of all, what was the spiritual sense? And there's three aspects. Number one, the allegorical sense. In other words, how does this relate to Jesus? You know, if you're studying the temple in the Old Testament, how does this relate to Jesus? Then what's called the moral sense. How does it relate to me, my conduct, my life? And then third, the anagogical sense, and that is the future. How does this relate to heaven? How does this relate to the future? So the church gives us some really good guidelines on how to stay in bounds and how to mine the depths of the Word of God. So we got a great article in there, and we also believe that everyone should be praying Scripture with Lectio Divina. Mm-hmm. And so we got a whole article on how do you do that. We have a reading plan in there to read the 14 narrative books in 3 months. It's just, this is a Bible to live in and to work in, and we believe that it's a Bible that people will keep for the rest of their lives. It's also, I think, one of the only red letter editions. And that is all the words of Jesus are in red.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm a Bible guy. I mean, I used to have this chronological Bible, you know, that best that they could, they chronologize. I had two volumes of loose leaf Bibles. So I had two volumes of it so I could insert footnotes in between the leaves of Scripture as I was reading and studying. I mean, I love Bibles.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, this Bible, I mean, it just felt right when I opened it up. And this is something people should get for their. This is something it invites you to open it, and it gives you a pathway into it, instead of like this black box people don't know what to do with.
And we know what we did also, Bear, is that I'm like you. We're both Bible guys. We're both Bible connoisseurs. On the margins, on the side, we built 50% more space on the side so that people could write in their Bible.
Oh, you shouldn't write in a Bible.
Oh, yeah. we encourage people to live there.
And, you know? And don't you encourage them to use highlighters too? And
yeah. Well, I encourage them to use colored pencils to highlight. And it's called a zebra pen. You can get it at any Office
Max.
And
you do it in a thematic way. Hey, you know what, Jeff? We got to go. We'll be right back with more of Jeff Cavins. We got too excited about this new Great Adventure Bible. I love this Bible. It's my Bible now. I love it. This is Bear Wozniak with the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We want to invite you to go to our website, deepadventure.com, and sign up for our tour that we're taking to in the footsteps of St. Paul this coming May. We go by bus to Thessalonica and Athens and so many places, and then we take a cruise ship over to Ephesus, down to Patmos, and then to Santorini, where my wife and I were betrothed. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Hey, man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.
Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. I just invited everybody to go to our website, deepadventure.com, if you'd like to go with us to Greece. I've been exclusively studying the life of St. Paul now for about 9 months, and I've been doing a series with Matt Swaim on the Sunrise Morning Show on Monday mornings. But this guy that we have with us on our show, Jeff Cavins, he's been to the Holy Lands a few times. And you do a lot of pilgrimages. I mean, I haven't bumped into you on a pilgrimage yet, but tell us what you've got coming up as far as pilgrimages go.
Sure. I'm going to be going in January. That one's sold out. We're going to January. That'll be my 54th trip to Israel, where I teach over there. And we actually go on a great adventure in Israel. And then we're planning right now. We have one every January, but we're planning kind of an epic trip right now in June of 2020. For young adults nationwide, and we're expecting that there might be 500 adults, young adults going over. We've got top singers. We've got Father Mike Schmitz, Father Josh Johnson. It's going to be huge. We got concerts on the Sea of Galilee, concerts in Bethlehem, a concert in Jerusalem.
No, you don't.
Oh, yeah.
How do you do that, Jeff? Amazing.
Well, a lot of good organizing, you know, we got a good crew, and but it's going to be an epic trip, and it's going to be a time of discerning and decision for young adults.
Oh, praise God. And where do they go to find out more about that?
They can go to my website, just jeffcavins.com, and we'll be putting all that information up there. We're just in the final steps of really, you know, getting that all put together. But boy, what a lineup.
I want to go. Is I'm not young enough, though, I guess.
You're right about that age. You look pretty good.
I could still sneak into the teen and young adult section.
No, we have adults. We have adults coming with us too that are going to be accompanying and
old people like me. Hey, Jeff,
me.
We're going to get carried away again, and we're not going to talk about your new book. We talked about it over coffee in Minneapolis a couple months ago. It's The Activated Disciple. What is the title called?
Yeah, it's called The Activated Disciple: Taking Your Faith to the Next Level. And basically, it is about really a very, very down-to-earth look at what does it mean to be a disciple? Not just hypothetically, but I mean, what does your day look like? If if you wanted to talk to Matthew or Peter or Andrew, you know, 2,000 years ago, and you asked them, well, what's it like to be a disciple of Jesus? They would not tell you a bunch of theology. they'd say, "Oh, it's awesome. I mean, here's what we do. We live together. We walk together. He does these kinds of things, and he has us doing this. And he corrected Peter the other day, you know." And it's all very relational type of thing. So I think that the book is unique in that it is a real historical look at what did it mean to be a disciple? How did you become a disciple? And how do we do that today? What does your day look like? How do you craft a day? How do you craft a life rather than just saying, well, these are things I believe, you know?
Yeah, the word disciple implies discipline, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the Hebrew word is a talmid. It's a disciplined follower of a great man. And of course, this great rabbi that we follow, Jesus, is the second person of the Trinity, you know. And one of the interesting things, Bear, about this is that, and you use this actually in your life. I mean, you invited me to ride with you next year. You would never invite me to ride unless you thought Jeff's capable of doing this, right? You wouldn't do that. I would be a nothing but a burden on you and your team. You say, well, does Jeff know how to ride long distance? Well, yeah, he's ridden 150,000 miles, you know, long distance. So you made a decision based on who you thought I was and who I can become. And that's the way it was in becoming a disciple. The rabbi would choose you. Remember, Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And they would choose you based on one criteria. Does that rabbi think that you have the ability to become like him? And so when Jesus chooses you, it means he thinks you can become like him. But you can't become like him without being with him. And that doesn't mean 7 o'clock on Tuesday night in room 107 of St. Agnes Church. You know, that means full time. You're going to be with Jesus, and he's going to make you into himself. And he believes in you. You know, that's why he chose you. So discipleship is about being chosen.
I love that. So it's not that we chose him, but he chose us. But then we respond and we give that yes. Think about it. You look at King David, and he talks about how he arose in the third hour of the night, or I forget what hours of the night. He was praying. He had a regular, not every hour, but he had a regular.
Like a discipline
of different times of the day, even in the middle of the night, of getting up to pray. And then you see that same pattern in this beautiful gift the church has given us in the liturgy of the hours.
Yeah.
It's a daily rigor. You look at, I'm in a Benedictine oblate, the rule of Saint Benedict. You know, there's a, you know, if you're going to be a great athlete, you know, and you know, I know when I was training for the world titles, I did 5 hours a week of flexibility training. I was in the water probably 15 hours a week. I was not eating certain things and eating other things. Mm-hmm. And there were certainly some people that weren't on my championship diet. I didn't allow them in my life because they were a distraction, or they were negative, or they brought me down. So if we're going to be like, as Paul challenged Timothy to be an athlete, we need to put a pattern into our lives of, What is our daily and weekly pattern going to be? And the church invites us to do that. What would be a good example of that for someone who, say, this is their first time to try to really lay down a pattern in their lives?
Right. Well, and you're right. Your goal, Bear, was you wanted a world championship. So everything was surrounding that, and you got the world championship. Our goal is to get to heaven. You
know,
it's to be with God forever and ever. Therefore, we've got to craft our life all the way from, you know, exercise and what we eat and so forth. One of the things that I recommend people do in the morning is to meet with God every day. Just even if it's only 15, 20 minutes to start with, just meet with him. Make it the top priority of your day, and do Lectio Divina. That is, read scripture and listen to what God is saying to you today, because you can take that into your life. The second thing is that we're trying to teach people situational awareness. Look for opportunities to pray for people, to encourage someone, to overhear someone saying something as you're standing at Starbucks, you know, and say, hey, I couldn't help but, you know, overhear what you just said. Can I pray for you? Or
how beautiful.
Whatever.
Yeah.
We do this every day. I try to witness to two people every day.
See, but that's built in. And
that's
the Holy Spirit gives you those appointments. And I like what you said. I found in ministry, too, the sooner you can pray with someone, it's kind of like that's when the magic happens. And the first, and you do, and you start them out, and you start it out with a question. You just start out by preaching. You ask them a question. And then you get to the point where you say, can I pray with you? And then that's when the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of shows up. But I like that you get, there's this scripture verse in Proverbs, and you know it well, when God is speaking to Job, and he's referring to him, did you do this? Did you do that? And he's talking about the horse and the power of the horse. And when I read that, I think, this is how men should be, like this horse. And it says, he hears the roar of the officers. Are we hearing that roar? In the mornings, are we getting up, having our first cup of coffee with the Lord, Lectio Divina, being quiet and still and listening? But then what happens is when we go out into the fray then, there is the still small voice within us, but there's also the scripture verse says, there will be a voice behind you shouting, this is the way, follow it. You have to start out in the morning to be able to hear God's voice, kind of get your marching orders and to be connected. But then during the day, let the officers roar. Let the Lord speak. You know what I mean? Just be ready to respond.
That's perfect. That's exactly what we're talking about, Bear, is that, you know, some people say, well, I never get these opportunities like you do, Jeff. I say, no, you do. You do. Amen. You just don't take them. You don't take those opportunities.
But they don't feel prepared.
And the number one thing Jesus said, the number one phrase he said was, do not be afraid. And the reason I think he said that is that if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have some opportunities to be a little bit fearful. It's like you go riding with me on a motorcycle for 500 years and you go through Beartooth Pass or you go through.
I love Beartooth Pass.
You know what? You might have some feelings of apprehension here a little bit. You go down 3,000 feet next to the road, you know. Don't be afraid.
But did he say you had to be a theological expert? No. Jesus said, be my witnesses.
Yes.
Just say, Jesus loves me. I mean, I got to tell you, I know him. Yeah. He loves you. I mean, you don't have to be the deepest. If you needed to be that deepest theological person for that person at that moment, they probably wouldn't have sent you.
Bear? The New Testament says that the Holy Spirit confirms the message. You don't have to run around confirming the message. You just have to give people the message. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to confirm this in their life. And all of a sudden, that guy you're talking to starts crying. It's like, I need what you're saying.
You know, we got to take a quick break here. But our good friend Jay Flunker had to take a big detour on his bike on season one. He had to roll back to San Antonio, and he went to the Harley Davidson dealership there. But there was some point he had a motorcycle problem. He had to go get it repaired. But while he was there, there was a man he started to witness to, and he said, you don't understand this. Last night, my wife and I were talking about how we need to return to the Catholic Church. So God has divine appointments for us. We just need to wake up. This is Bear Wozniak with Deep Adventure Ministries, and I'm talking with Jeff Cavins, the man behind the Great Adventure Timeline series. We'll be right back with more.
Men, yes, we mean you. Go to deepadventure.com and check out Bear's Man Cave, a men's only Facebook group. Join the pack with other men as they challenge and inspire one another to manly virtue. Plus, you can dialogue with us in our regular video chat meetups. Plus, get your exclusive content. Join at deepadventure.com. That's deepadventure.com.
Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I've got Jeff Cavins with us, who is so well known and loved for the series he does called The Great Adventure, the Through the Bible Timeline series, and his new Bible, The Great Adventure Bible. But I got, you know, we were talking about how he's saying this new book, The Activated Disciple, how you put a discipline in your life. And I'm going to tell you a secret, Jeff. The two C's of prayer, the two C's of meditation, the two C's of study, coffee and cigars. Coffee by morning and a cigar by night. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
My two or three cups of coffee in the morning. I start out my day. I go turn on the coffee. I go out on the lanai by the ocean, and I start real nice and slow, but that first two or three sips of coffee, I'm into the scriptures or whatever devotional study or the liturgy of the hours. But you know, Jeff, my favorite time is in the evenings.
Yep.
And you don't like cigars, do you?
Yeah, I do. In fact, I picked up a new one just yesterday called My Father, the grand offering. It's called Brand New. It's the grand offering. You know, they have My Father the Judge, and they have all of these, and they're just an Oliva, very good.
I love Oliva cigars. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I still have to get yours. You're going to send me your little package.
I got to tell you, we had Notre Dame Federal Credit Union last week. One of our sponsors, we love them, and one of the men there, Tom Gripe, who's the CEO, met him at the Napa Institute. And he bought a sampler set and brought it back, gave it to some of his friends. And one of his men there at the credit union just said, "This is the best cigar I've ever had."
Really?
So we have really good cigars. I really took my time selecting them. The Seven Virtues cigars are available at our website, and you can get it by the sampler set, and soon you can buy them by the box too. But it's the Seven Virtues. So when you have a cigar with a friend, you're reading about Caritas or Love.
Yep.
As the name of that particular blend of cigars, so there's seven blends. The three theological virtues are the Maduros, and the medium blends are the cardinal virtues. But when you want to peel the label, and you have to really enjoy the cigar because the label's so big, there's something from one of my books on the heroic virtue. So it gets men to talk about something other than just football. But Jeff, isn't it true? I just got to tell you, the depth of my reading and spirituality, and my father's hooked on cigars now. I told him, "It's going to stunt your growth, Dad." But he just called me today and goes, "Hey, where's my box of cigars?" Because every afternoon he'll go out and he'll spend an hour reading. He's studying Padre Pio now and have a cigar. And at night, I may be reading for 20 or 30 minutes. Right now I'm reading the St. John Chrysostom's commentaries on Acts. And a little bit, sometimes a little bit hard. But I go, "Oh, my cigar's only halfway done. I guess I'll keep reading, you know?" It's about coffee and cigars. Tell the truth.
Yeah. You know, you and I are an awful lot alike. Maybe it's good that we live on opposite sides of the country.
But we're going to have cigars with your friends up in Calgary, right?
Yes, absolutely. On these long trips every night, guys, after dinner, they all sit outside the hotel and have cigars, and they fellowship for about an hour.
Yeah,
every night.
It takes an hour.
Yeah. You know, there's something about it that's meditative and it brings guys together. I know that some people might not understand it, but I think one of the reasons that guys like cigars is the minute you light it, you know, for the next hour to an hour and a half, I can just relax with my friends here. I don't have to mow the lawn and smoke a cigar at the same time. You know, this is a time to relax and fellowship with other brothers. And I know a lot of the Dennis Prager on radio, a lot of these guys, they smoke cigars.
It seems like
them.
The new evangelization. You know what I think it is because it's a call back to manliness. You know, there's very few areas that are kind of just for men, and though some women do smoke cigars. You know, for the most part, I call it my solitude maker.
Yeah.
When I sit down at the beach in Waikiki at sunset, I find a place where there's no one, but no one comes and sits by me, and I have my beach chair, and I have my iPad, and I read, and I have my cigar.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, next year we'll have to get a box of your cigars. Maybe you can do a new branding of cigar through you, the Great Adventure Cigar
That's
Set.
That's a good
with
idea.
One cigar for every period.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I mean, but I'll tell you, I think there really is something about the cigar, the G.K. Chesterton. A thing, I bet so much of his writing and thinking was done because a cigar makes you stop in your tracks. People want to usually leave you alone unless they're having one, and then you can share it with them. And I'm not saying it in a very slight way. I'm actually kind of saying it in a serious way. I think there's something about the new evangelization that's calling men back to manly virtue. I don't say masculine virtue. I say manly virtue. And somehow, somewhere along the line, men kind of have reconnected to that. You know why I learned how to smoke a cigar was I had my cabin in Montana. I'd built it myself up by Glacier Park, and it was I had a couple people help me, but it was kind of like my little terrible idea and project to kind of do most of the work. And these little things used to bite me, and I go, what's biting me? I can't even see them. And it's because they call them no see them. So you should have a cigar, it'll get rid of them. And I had a Swisher Sweet, and that was 1997 probably. And ever since then, my spiritual life has gone deeper. But let's get back to this activated disciple concept. But what I am saying is, I'm telling you my pattern. I have my coffee in the morning, and I have my prayer time. Reading the liturgy, the hours of the mornings. And then in the evening, I have my sacred reading time. with my cigar. So, I mean, that's a pattern, right? What kind of pattern? What would you recommend to let's say, not someone who's a brand new Christian, but someone who now wants to go deeper and really activate their discipleship?
Yeah, I would say start to partition your day with some discipline that no matter what happens tomorrow morning, I'm going to spend time with Jesus. And I'm going to get my marching orders for the day. I'm going to hear him speak to me in his word, and I'll take that message throughout the day, and I'll probably have opportunities to apply it. And then I'll be situationally aware throughout the day. When I think about my kids, I'll pray for them, so forth. And then before I go to bed at night, there's a time of the examination, the examine prayer. And I look back at my day, like it's kind of like Jesus taking a YouTube video of you all day long and saying, can we just review this for a minute? And you look back at your day and you praise God for the good things that he has given you. And you make the corrections when you need to and what you need to do the next day. But Bear, there shouldn't be a day that goes. There is no such thing as a disciple part-time or, you know, I just believe these things. This is a real relationship. And I also encourage people throughout the day, if you're in your car and you want to pray, talk out loud. Talk to God.
It works good when you're out stand-up paddling too.
Yeah.
I find myself kind of talking to God and I'm all of a sudden going under a wave. And I go, that doesn't work so good. Yeah. Just be with him. Talk with him.
Talk to him. You know, what if Jesus was with Peter and Matthew and he looked back at them at the end of the day and said, hey, guys, you haven't said anything to me all day. And they said, oh, yeah, we have, Jesus. We just thought it.
Well, you know, also, it's like this. It's like sometimes it's like people talk about God like he's not even there. You know, like when you're a bad kid and you get sent to the principal's office and your mom is there and your dad is there and the principal is there and they talk about your behavior like you're not even in the room. I'm sure you've had a time like that. But,
oh yeah,
I mean, God's right here. And people will theorize about him and philosophize about him, or like Job's friends, you know, talked about him, but Job finally said to God, he got mad at God. He got real with God. And then God got real with him, you know. But the guys who were just theorizing about God, what a waste of time. God is right here, right now. As soon as we're done with this show, someone could pray. What kind of prayer would you suggest they pray as soon as we're done with this show?
Well, I would pray, Lord, help me to become sensitive to your presence and to not lose sight of the fact that you are with me constantly. The Jews have a word for it. It's called kavanah, and it means focus. Focus. And I think that one of the things that it's the hardest about being a disciple is maintaining that awareness 24/7. It's a discipline. Once you do it, it's a gift, you know.
Well, you talk about situational awareness. We got like 30 seconds left, but I know you also train people in gun safety and how to carry, you know, and a big part of that is it's, you know, one of the best things you can do so you never have to draw a gun is to have situational awareness.
You know, get
where
out.
To be and where not to be. Absolutely. We're talking with Jeff Cavins. Hey, Jeff, can we just like write an email to each other after this and say, can we talk again in 6 weeks? Because it was too.
Sure.
I really love, you can see I kind of get almost too talkative when I talk.
Oh, we're just good friends.
You energize me so much. But so the new book is called Activated Discipleship. It's being released right now.
Yeah, it's coming out in about 2 weeks, The Activated Disciple. So it'll be out for this fall, Christmas, and all that.
And where can they get that?
They can get that at ascensionpress.com, and I believe that Amazon and everyone else will have it too.
And that's where they can go to get the new Great Adventure Bible, and they can get the Great Adventure Timeline.
With your compass on the front.
Yeah. Well, my son's designed this beautiful compass for my website. So it's not quite the same, but I mean, I dig compasses, you know. I remember getting lost in Montana hunting in the snow, and I didn't believe my compass. And I ended up finding someone else. I was lost, and I found someone else's tracks, and I guess I'll follow those guys' tracks. He must know where he's going. And I finally realized they were my own tracks. I had come full circle.
Oh, that's funny.
So we need a compass.
Yeah.
And we need the catechism, and we need the scriptures. This is Bear Wozniak with the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We've been talking with my friend Jeff Cavins. Jeff, we'll talk to you again soon. We'll plan out our trip from riding on motorcycles from Cocoa Beach to Alaska.
Sounds good. God bless
you. Okay, until next week, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
You've been listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Go to bearwoznik.com to get your free audio and other exciting content,
Plus, you can pick up the Long Ride Home 10-episode DVD set, autographed copies of Bear's books, Long Ride Home shirts, tanks, coffee cups, and even motorcycle pins and patches. And find out how guys can sign up for Bear's Man Cave online Facebook group, all at bearwasnick.com.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.